RadioSunset.com. Racing's number one website has the value-added information not available anywhere else. Trainer and jockey staff, detailed pedigree data, exclusive brisk pace, speed, and class ratings, free membership, free handicapping software, race entries and results, handicapper selections, and so much more. For a true picture of how the race will be run, discover BristNet.com, the official data source of the Kentucky Derby.
A proud citizen of Sire and Eclipse Award winner. He's Sire four champions. He's Sire two winners of the Kentucky Oaks. He has sired 72 black type horses. Over 14% of his starters have won or placed in stakes. And that's a lot of run for the stud feet. Proud citizen stands for $7,500 live foal, and here's another plus. Last year's yearling sold for up to $285,000. Proud citizens, Kentucky Oaks winners are Proud Spell and Believe You Can. Proud Spell also won the Classic Grade One Alabama Stakes and other stakes, of course, for earnings of more than $2,131,000. Believe You Can also earned over $1 million, $1,280,324 to be exact. Then there is Vamos A. Galpierre, a grade one winner and champion in Chile that came to the USA and won the grade two Santa Ana Stakes at Santa Anita. And the crack New York Stakes winner, Mark Valesky. He'd earned over $658,000. It happened again, a graded stakes winner of nearly $700,000, and the graded stakes winner, Patriot and Proud, one of over $575,000. The list just goes on and on, but heck, it's just a two-hour show. Proud Citizens Fee, $7,500 live foal. Mr. and Mrs. Brad and C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com. And remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
From the horse capital of the world, it's Horse Tales with Ursel Ellis on Fox Sports 1580.
And down the stretch they come!
We'll talk about the horses.
Oh, whirl away, pulls away.
The people.
Here comes Jim Cam down the middle of the track now.
And the history of the thoroughbred industry.
And it's Trick Materials that went to play 2.5 lengths.
Now live from Kentucky's bluegrass region, here's Ursel.
All righty. Well, good morning, everyone, and we are here from the Thoroughbred Sector, Training Center. All kind of confusion going on there this morning.
Well, that was Mike Warren from Macaulay's.
Yeah.
World's Greatest Feed Company. And we're going to call Amy at some point, and she wants to talk about the All-Tech thing and St. Patty's Day. Ooh, down at the All-Tech thing.
Oh, okay.
So, it's be great.
All right.
So,
right, Jackie and Nate. There we go. I saw this is a confusing morning already. Michael Bruin's here, though. Speaking of confusion, but I can.
Yeah, welcome Michael to our world.
But I've got to be nice to Michael today. I have been missing the 1948 American Racing Manuals, American Racehorses, which was one of those editions written by Joe Palmer. And I bought one last year out of Keeneland at the book sale they had, and got home, and I was just really enjoying it and looking. And somebody had cut out the section of citation and cut out the section on Gallaret, you know. So they had the book sale out there yesterday. It's going on again this morning.
Yes, I was there yesterday. I've been there a couple times, actually.
Oh, good.
I got a lot of stuff.
They did.
Well, goes up and bets. Thing. Oh, no, you can't bet out there anymore, can you?
But I did go over to the Red Mile and bet.
Oh, good. I was going to say standards have fallen, yeah. but maybe not.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Got to go to the chapel. Yeah. Oh, look what I got. This is what happened the other day. So it's Diane's birthday last Saturday.
Oh.
So I went to the chapel. And I bring $100 to the chapel, and when $100 is gone, so am I.
All right, that's the way I always.
So yeah. I'm down to $20, and I bet a 10-cent super. And I said, well, you know, maybe I'll just go home early. We'll go out to eat earlier. It'll be all that kind of thing. So I pressed the button three times for the 10-cent super. Each ticket cost me $3.
Yeah.
And this is what came back. Each 10-cent super paid $950.60.
You're kidding me. You are kidding me. You haven't cashed it yet?
No, I cashed it. This is what you have to do with the IRS. Now they're going to come take half of it.
So how? Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's the government
so
part.
Instead of going to McDonald's.
Instead of going to the drive-thru.
Yes.
That's right. We sat down in chairs that actually had backs on them.
Yeah, at least
unbelievable. I hope she doesn't get used to it. We had a blast.
That's so cool. Well, good for you.
So that was good. So now I'm all excited. Now I can't wait to give it back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All right.
Well, this afternoon, big cap this afternoon.
Yes.
A race owned by the horse whose hat Hursel is wearing this morning, Game On Dude.
He won it twice.
Three times.
Three times.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow.
He could have won it four times if they didn't ride him so confidently.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Somebody
well,
screwed
good
up,
for
huh?
you, Michael.
Yeah, so that was good.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, let me get back to my story.
Oh, you were saying so?
I was talking about my American Racehorses in 1948, and people had cut out pages of it. I went out yesterday looking for it, and it wasn't there, you know, and Becky, of course, was there, and I said, Becky, can I have my money back for that book? And I went, oh, no. So... So thank you, Michael.
Well,
that was
Russell.
Very thoughtful of you. That's wonderful.
Had that for a while, but yeah. I knew that you're the only one around who saw those horses race. I was 1 year older.
If you can come up with a 47.
I wasn't even born yet.
Bobby Copeland's looking for one.
A 47. All right, that'll be next on our list. That's the year of my birth.
You were born in 1947?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, saw my first Derby that year. Oh, well.
Yeah. I was five.
I was in utero.
That was a war, baby.
Yeah, really. We're making a big move now on the show to try to attract millennials.
Oh, okay.
We're part of the youth movement here.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
well, Bob,
yeah.
Bob's looking for that one called It Has the Obituary of Man of War in it.
Well.
And it's one.
Speaking of Man of War.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to have to bring this in next week. So what we're going to be doing, we'll be announcing it probably in the next week or two, making a press release and everything. But we've decided that a lot of stuff that we've been collecting for the museum, we need the money to build the new fences, get more horses in here because, you know, we kind of got this backlog of really, really nice horses that we want to bring in. We've got to pay for the fence. We've got the barn to put back up. Thanks to Fasig Tipton, that's pretty much, and the insurance, that's pretty much paid for. But we still got to put up the fence. And, you know, saving stuff has never been our top priority. The top priority is getting the horses.
Right.
So we have two great things.
What?
We have a secretariat shoe.
Yeah.
And we have a Man of War shoe.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, that's a, where'd you get a Man of War shoe?
Well, you know.
Huh?
Here, Man of War.
This morning. Will Harbutt?
Yeah. Will Harbutt's son came to the farm probably, I don't know, nine years ago maybe,
yeah.
And he gave it to us.
A real Man of War shoe.
It came in a frame, it's in a big frame, and it's got all this great writing on it, like this
shoe. That is worth a small fortune.
That's what I think. And so we're going to be auctioning that off on eBay, and there's a letter on the back. And
wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Well, let me say, I'm supposed to, at the beginning of each show, to let people know who's going to be on the show and everything.
Other than Michael
Blowen.
Well,
he comes
I know.
In
now we got the important guest.
Yay!
he comes in and announces himself every Saturday.
He said he was going to be nice to me today because I gave him the book. How long did that last? 6 minutes.
There we go. Yes.
Thank
the
you.
The audience is applauding.
I haven't checked the pages in it yet. If there's something missing, I'll come. I'm teasing.
It's in mint condition. I want this note.
It is mint.
It's mint.
It is.
Look at your thought.
There she is.
There
Gal
she
Red.
Is. Not all
you can hear it creak just like your knees.
Ah, well.
All right. So you want to announce somebody else is going to be here today?
Yeah, Patrick Valenzuela is coming here. Going to be here at
9 o'clock.
He is.
Yeah.
One of my favorite jockeys of all time.
Well,
one of the greatest races I've ever seen. He's got to come to the farm. One of the greatest races I've ever seen. When he won the Breeders' Cup Turf on Fraze and beat Sky Classic by it. Came right up that rail. Julie Crone told me that she was right behind him. And she goes, in all of her years of racing and riding, She never heard this before, but he was so close to the bushes, the interior bushes, she could hear the branches breaking off.
Ah.
Is that right? Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, Patrick Valenzuela, what a great writer. This is great. So what's he, why is he coming here? He drove all the way here from California or
no,
from
New Orleans
just to meet you?
He's got relatives here.
Yeah.
And he's been riding some down in Louisiana.
That's right.
And but I don't know.
I'll tell you how we got this. Fannahan McGrath, Irish blacksmith, good friend, mm-hmm. was somewhere in Lexington and ran into him. And of course, Fanny went nuts. Oh my God, who you know who you are and all that. And he texted me, and you know about getting him on the show, which was great. And then I think he had a minor injury and he's off for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And so he used that opportunity to come here. Now that's what I gathered from our text.
Right.
But anyway,
well, he's a wonderful guy and terrific. Do you want to say who else is going to be on?
Well, need I say more?
I don't know. I don't think so. But just in case.
Yeah. Steve Moody, of course, is a Kentucky handicapper. Sheet is it's a Gulfstream handicapper. He's going to be on. I don't know if Dr. Bob Waldridge would get by. You know, it's that time of the year for a veterinarian. Oh, that's all right. Either he shows or he doesn't. And we'll have Jackie's announcements, and I'll try to do a little history. And you know, of course, you say they're running the
San Diego handicap.
Mm-hmm. They were right now. I've got to pay some bills. So
let me do.
Oh yeah. Well, anyway, winners from the Thoroughbred Center since last week's show. Let's see. Dale Loveland won a good race down at Turfway. Uh-huh. Tommy Mills won one at Mahoning Valley, and then last night we had two wins. Wayne Mackey won one for Burry Jones. Do it again. Won a race up there, and then Luis Jurado won a race last night. Two winners last night. Turfway. All righty. Now, let me get down to my commercials in the list down here if I can find my doggone list. Here we go. Last year, First Crop Yearlings by Algorithm sold for up to $110,000. Then on March 2, the first two-year-old sale went for $180,000 at the Fazy Tipton, Florida sale. Sale was held at Gulfstream. Of course, that was a scene of Algorithm's impressive win in the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes over the previous year's Eclipse Award-winning Colt Hansen. It was a Tappet Colt's first defeat, and Algorithm's bested him by 5 widening lengths. Injured shortly thereafter, Algorithm's retired undefeated for stud duties at Claiborne Farm, reminiscent of another highly regarded undefeated colt with similar credentials that went to stud to Claiborne a few years back, the Great Dancing. Algorithm's is by Baron Bernardini, who stands for $100,000, and he is one of 6 stakes winners, 5 greatest stakes winners out of the high-class race mare Ever Knows the Cold. It's a superior running family, with his First Crop yearlings going for up to $110,000. The First Crop two-year-olds for $180,000. Algorithm stud fee is $5,000 payable when the foal stands and nurses. It's a real bargain. Bernie Sam is at Claiborne Farm. 859-233-4252 and see the website at claibonfarm.com. And Algorithms is not by Bernardini. How did I write that in there? But anyway, screwed that one up, Ursel. All right, well, where'd Jackie disappear to?
She's talking to somebody out there.
Talking to somebody outside?
Rusty's going to have a heart attack if she slams the door again.
All right. All right, well, then I'll do a quick... Come in here and do this commercial. Where in the hell did you go?
I can't slam the door.
No,
Rusty's going to have a heart attack.
I'm sorry, Rusty. I apologize. Some people have a harder job than others.
You know, Amy.
All right. Ha! It's always wise to do business with people you trust, especially when it comes to insurance. Moved to Bourbon County, friends recommended the Hopewell Company, and that was over 30 years ago. They've been taking care of our insurance needs ever since. Hopewell Company has extensive experience working with horse farms and racing stables, and they also cover home, barn, vehicles, ancient horse trailer, plus liability coverage, and they've been right there whenever we needed them. Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. That's a key, folks. They work for us, not the insurance company. And the insurance company wants to keep their business, and they want to keep our business. So, they offer the best coverage and most competitive prices from financially sound, reputable insurers. Contact Hopewell Company. They're prepared to provide you a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. Hopewell Company was founded in 1955 by Joe McLean. It's at 820 South Main in Paris, 987-2347, or Lexington number if you still got a landline, 254-2431. You'll get great service. We guarantee it.
Well, another outfit down in Paris, Bourbon County, Kentucky, of course, was the Clay Ward Agency, or is the Clay Ward Agency, founded back in 1931 by Mr. James Clay Ward, 31, a vintage year. That's the year 20 grand won a derby. And, of course, they've been providing the finest in equine insurance for over 80 years now. And their success was based on hard work, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. And that, those qualities are still carried on today at the Clay Ward Agency by Shaq Parrish and Bruce Isaacs and John Hess. And so if you, whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, and the pros at the Clay Ward Agency are in a great position to give you the best coverage at the best price available. Now, here's your number. It's a Bourbon County number, 859-987-1861. 1861, just remember the year the Civil War started and you'll be in business. Now, the Clay Ward Agency is closely affiliated with Indian Creek. Indian Creek, one of the leading stud farms down in Bourbon County. Beautiful place. If you've never been on it, it's worth a trip just to go out there and look at it, you know, because it's a great place. But incidentally, it's a great place to board your horses. And, of course, they sell at all the major sales. And they've raised and boarded and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. So what you need to do is get in touch with them out at Indian Creek. And here's that's Shaq Parrish or Nicky Dryon. And the number is 859-987-7443. And the website is IndianCreekKY.com. Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. That's a couple of names you should keep in mind if you're in the horse business.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursa Lele.
All right. Have I got Amy with me?
Not yet.
Not yet? Oh, okay.
No, your guest is here. Fanny's here, and he's here visiting his brother.
Oh, okay.
While he had a slight injury, I think it's his wrist or something. Not that much. They said take 3 weeks, so he's doing that. He looks great.
Oh, was he running around with Fanny?
God bless him. I don't know. he went up to meet Francois.
Oh, okay. All right.
So
Francois, for those who don't know, helps at the jockey school is Chris McCarron.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Used to be in a. Yep. Francois is a really good horseman.
Yeah.
He actually has a record. Now, we got to check it out with Francois. I do think that he has the highest win percentage of any Breeders' Cup trainer.
Is that right?
Yes.
One for one.
Yes. That's exactly right.
I know.
It was like me. Funny. I was the last guy on the baseball team, and the last game they decided I could have an at bat.
Really?
And I hit a dribbler that just barely made it out of the infield, but just under the first baseman's glove, and the second baseman couldn't get to it.
Oh,
and
funny.
And it stopped. And it's a good thing it did, because if I hit it any harder, the right fielder could have thrown me out.
But
I
batted 1,000.
I batted 1,000. I couldn't understand why they didn't give me the award at the banquet as the top hitter on the team.
That's great. You know, Patrick, when Patrick was a little kid, he played whatever that was. Baby baseball, but I mean, they really hit it and stuff. But he came up to bat, bases were loaded. And the pitcher's daddy said, throw it to him, he can't hit, you know, being all that stuff. And daggone Patrick knocked that sucker right out of there. And it's time
nice.
To
yeah, I never will forget that.
Nice.
Yeah.
His son was pitching. He said, throw it down the middle, he can't hit it. And yeah. Patrick hit a home run. Dead center field.
Parents at baseball games are, you know,
it's miserable.
It's terrible.
And
it's
I'll tell terrible. You another thing that was amazing about that team. That coach cussed like you wouldn't believe.
Yeah, that's a little league team, for crying out loud.
Patrick said,
if the kids took it as seriously as the adults, we'd all be in trouble. What happened to having a little fun? Taking a bat and a ball and going out to the yard.
Yeah, exactly.
Know? Everything's so organized now, too.
Yeah, it's too much.
Everything's organized. It's got to be this, got to be that. I mean, I don't know.
I don't like it. We used to leave the house in the morning and get back when it was dark. Is it supper time?
That's why our parents liked us so much.
Exactly.
Get out of their hair for a while.
Exactly. Go out and run around with kids and learn how to deal with people.
I used to ride my bike up and down those hills at Dixiana. You know, Lord have mercy. I'd go home, go to bed at night, and my legs would be aching from riding that bike up and down those hills.
Oh, that's good for you.
Yeah, well.
I need to get a bike. There's an idea. I could ride my bike around the farm.
There's a bike that's going to be at the Hunt Ball tonight on the silent auction.
Oh, yeah?
And it's a regular old-timey bike. You know, not 17 gears, and you don't have to ride with your butt in the air and your face on the ground.
Yeah, I just want to know one that's not too complicated.
Yeah, just start and stop.
Yeah. But I'm so excited about going to the simulcast today because there are all these great races, the Tampa Bay Derby, Santa Anita Handicap, the Kilroy Mile.
Who's going to win the Santa Anita Derby?
Give it Santa Anita Handicap? FNX is going to be the big favorite. Jimmy Jerkins sent FNX out there, and he wasn't going to send him out there if he didn't have a really good, and he probably is. He probably is the best horse in the race in a lot of ways. However, he hasn't raced since the Breeders' Cup, and it might be a little tough for him. I really like Imperative in here, the Bernardini horse, but that's just me. So, yeah, we'll see. I don't know what the odds are going to be on him, but they'll be better than they are on FNX, and I would take a shot with them.
Huh.
We'll see. Maybe Steve will give us a tip.
Oh, I'm sure. Steve can't do the Santa Anita Handicap while he's doing Gulfstream?
Who?
Steve. The handicapper, Briss.
Oh, that's Santa Anita. He doesn't do California.
Oh, okay. He doesn't do California.
Yeah, but he might make an exception. They will ask him because I'm sure he has an opinion.
Well, I imagine he does.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've got one, too.
You do? What is it?
Oh, nothing. God.
Don't bet.
And then they announced the finalists for the Tony Ryan Award. They announced the horses that are nominated for the Hall of Fame and the jockeys and the trainers.
Yeah, I saw that. Mm-hmm. Rachel and...
Yeah, well, Rachel and Zenyatta are shoe-ins.
Right.
I would think that Ramon Dominguez and Victor are shoe-ins. And that might be it because there's only four.
When's that over? You haven't gotten your ballot yet, have you?
No, not yet.
It's
going to be a pretty easy one this time, I would think.
It's going to be mobbed.
With Zenyatta and Rachel there,
Come on.
You got to vote for both of them.
They called us the other day. We're going to have an ad in the magazine, in the Hall of Fame magazine. Mm-hmm. And we're designing it this year for the old friends version of the Triple Crown. You know, we don't do everything exactly the way other people do it. It's just a little odd. So what we're going to do is going to run our Triple Crown, which is on one side of the page we'll have Silver Charm and Touch Gold, and on the other side we'll have Sarava and Warrenville.
Nice. Very clever.
Very good.
Yeah, and then we'll have Sarbonne. We'll be down in the corner. Sarbonne, nobody ever heard of, but one of the reasons that Zenyatta is going into the Hall of Fame is because of Sarbonne, because Sarbonne was the poor horse that had to go out every time that Zenyatta worked, and she needed somebody to run down, and it was always him. So now he's in the same paddock with Game On Dude. He's pretty much providing the same service.
Poor guy.
I know. He's very nice, too.
How's the barn coming, by the way?
Oh, it's coming good. We signed the contract, and
got a picture of it.
They're finishing up the – I got a picture of the sign that John Cox at Thorough Graphics designed for us.
Really?
For the John Hediger Memorial Barn.
Nice.
It's fabulous. It's really fabulous.
Holy cats. Hold it up to the microphone so our listeners can see.
Well, I'll let you see it. We'll find it here while Ursula earns money for whatever he's going to do. What are you doing over there?
I don't know.
I don't know. Did you ever finish saying what's going on the show?
This is, hell, I don't know.
It's called flying by the seat of your pants.
Disjointed.
Your baggy pants.
Program that I've ever had, I do believe. I don't know what's going on.
Oh, tell him to come in and sit
Come
down.
On, put him on right now before
that
goes.
Come on in.
How are you?
Put him in my chair.
Who's that, Mike? I saw him a couple years ago.
Oh, I think Patrick Valenzuela is here already. Well, we'll tell Amy we're going to do in the second hour.
Oh, we're going to miss Amy.
Come on in, Pat.
Here.
Sit down. Good to meet you.
You too.
Thanks for coming by. This is Patrick Valenzuela.
Hello, everybody.
And this guy especially wanted to meet you. Tell him why.
Well,
you know, we have all friends. We have Silver Charm at the farm. We're on them, and I wanted to show you the list of our horses. You probably rode a whole bunch of them. But
I know you had Phrase down there. I know that.
What a beautiful horse, huh?
Oh, he's a magnificent-looking animal. He, I remember the day the Breeders' Cup sneaking through on the rail at Gulfstream, pushing the hedge over and catching Sky Classic right at the wire. And, you know, I think Pat might have fell asleep that day at the 16th bowl.
I don't know about that, but I do know this. Just to confirm your story, is Julie Crone came to the farm, and she was behind you somewhere that day on somebody. And she said you could hear the branches breaking off the bush when he went down the rail and caught and went by Sky Classic.
That's true. You know, the Gulfstream turf course has a hedge on the rail for the rail from about the, I think it's a half mile to the quarter pole in that area. And that's where I kind of started to make my move and push the rail over a little bit, push the hedge over a little bit. But it was a tight run race. You know, the horses were clogging up everywhere, and you have to do what you have to do when you're coming from dead last, you know?
Yeah, it was great. It was so great. And when we got him, we brought him home from Japan. He was actually in a riding stable over in Japan.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he's a grand-looking animal, and Madeline, as a matter of fact, before the race, I was in the paddock, and I had just won on Eliza, and I was the day that Alan Paulson promised me a Rolls-Royce Corniche convertible if I won four races for him, and unfortunately, Arazi and Fouda didn't run that good. But I won on Eliza, the first race I won, rode for him. And then the last race I was riding for Madeline, and her daughter and her came down to the paddock, Dominique, and Madeline came down with Alan. And Dominique was so cute. She was only about 14 years old. And she told me, Patrick, if you win this race for my mom, I'm going to give your daughters my show pony Peppermint. And then Madeline says, Patrick, if you win this race, I'm going to give you a share of Phrase. I go, okay, cool. So, and I'm like 30-1, and I just took off the 8-5 favorite Navarone to ride Phrase. And that's another story. I'll tell you that one in a little bit. But yes, lo and behold, we came and got Sky Classic at the wire. And I wasn't really trying to say that Pat Day fell asleep, but Sky Classic had a tendency to pull up when he made the lead, and Pat was waiting as long as he could, and I just think I got the jump on him up at the 8th pole, and then he saw my horse, and he came after my horse, and he just couldn't get by my horse because my horse had the momentum, and it's a long stride and big horse, and he just ran a super race that day.
We show that race all the time when people come. Every, you know, we do tours at the farm, we show that race all the time, and Tom Durkin's call on that race is really fabulous. Have you been out to Old Friends at all?
You know what? I was reading your magazine. I saw the horses, and I knew that, yeah. Phrase was there, and a couple other horses that I had ridden before that I rode maybe once or twice are there as well. And
who is that now?
I can't recall off the top
He's
of my
got
head.
Got a list of them there, probably.
I could probably find them, but I'd like to go see them. I would like to take a visit.
Oh, that would be great.
It would
be wonderful to have you.
Yeah, and,
be careful, Patrick. He'll charge you.
Will he charge
you? No, not him. I'm not charging
him. Well, how much are you going to charge me?
I don't charge you anything. I charge him double.
Well, okay. What do you charge, though?
$10.
$10. Well, I charge $1,000 to go do tours, okay? So you owe me $990.
I hope you don't charge that. This is good. I hope you don't charge that to come on the radio.
Well, you'll get my bill next week.
Oh, you'll get my bad check, too. Hey, I got to take a break and pay some bills. I mean, sit still.
Got a commercial. Do you know how that goes?
Yes, sir.
Well, Close Hatch is a Clips Award winner and winner of 5 Grade 1 stakes of over $2,700,000 is by First Defense. So has Dun Donnell, a group winner in Great Britain and earner of more than $1 million. Iris Jasper, winner of 4 stakes, 3 last year, including a pair of graded stakes, is yet another runner by First Defense. So is Antono, a group winner as a 2-year-old last year in France, and Pimlico Stakes winner Fame and Power, and winner of the Sir Barton Stakes, and placed in 3 others last year. 2 of them graded stakes. French Stakes winner Privet Hedge, Chicago Stakes winner Pistol Drum, Irish Stakes winner and group placed Tom Belaine, and the list goes on and on. 12% of his starters have earned black type. Last year, yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $240,000. He stands for $7,500 live foal at Judmont Farm. And his fresh crop of 2-year-olds hits the track this year. Garrett O'Rourke, Aaron Fry, give him a call. 859-272-7629 and see the website at judmont.com.
Down through the years, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack walked into a Sally van on their way to win the Kentucky Derby or to the Breeders' Cup and, yep, to a Triple Crown. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. Sally vans are always in tip-top shape. and the person behind the wheel is an experienced driver, experienced horseman, and that is a winning combination. Folks at Sally Van wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why, more than six decades, Sally Van has been the safest way to the winner's circle. So, give them a call, 859-255-9406. See the website at sallyvans.com and enjoy the ride.
Well, congrats is the number one ranked sire of 2016 stakes winners. He's got six already this year. The most recent was Polar River, winner of the Group 3 UAE Oaks on March the 3 of the UAE 1000 Guineas on January the 14th. And she's won four of her, well, she's undefeated in four career starts now. She's won those four starts by some 32 lengths combined, and she's earned over $365,000. Now, congrats. Other 2016 stakes winners are Venus Valentine, winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexander Stakes at the Fairgrounds, Forever Darling, winner of the Grade 2 Santa Ynez Stakes at Santa Anita, Have You Gone Away, winner of the Spring Fever Stakes and the American Beauty Stakes, both at Oaklawn, undefeated Cash Back, winner of the Melody of a Color Stakes at Gulfstream, and Pang Burn, winner of the Maryland Racing Media Stakes at Law. In addition to being the leading sire of 2016 stakes winners, he ranks fifth on the North American sire list for money won. Congrats by AP Indy. Began his career at stud as the nation's leading freshman sire. He sired two Grade 1 winners in his first crop, and he stands for $20,000 payable in the full stands and nurses at Windstar Farm. Call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website at windstarfarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursula Ellis.
All righty. Well, I'm talking to Patrick Valenzuela. Michael Blowen is still here with us, and Michael has just shown Patrick a list of some of the horses that are out at Old Friends. Any of those that ring a bell for you?
Well, you know what? There's lots of horses in there that I competed against, and lots of horses I've ridden maybe once or twice, like I'm a Zombie and some others. But, I mean, I appreciate it, and I'm sure all the horsemen in the world and the owners that have somewhere to retire their horses when they either get injured or they're just too old to run and they're geldings or they just don't produce as a broodmare. And, you know, it's awfully nice to have that in our industry, and it's a blessing to have you in our industry.
Well, thank you, Patrick. I idolize you, and you know, I remember when you were riding all those great horses for Charlie Whittingham, and you know, it's really great to have somebody who could ride a horse the way you rode him.
Was Charlie easy to get along with, Patrick?
Oh, Charlie was my buddy. He used to say if we lost, he would say, "Don't worry, my boy, we always got tomorrow." And I used to call him Senor Carlos, you know. He was just a great trainer. And, you know, I didn't realize this till later in my career, but when I was about 21 years old, I rode a horse for him named Handsome One. I like to think it was my namesake, but, you know. Anyways, I rode Handsome One for Mary Jones Bradley, and it was either the Spotlight or the Will Rogers Handicap at Hollywood Park. The horse used to come from Did Last and come smoking to the stretch. And, you know, I won on him one day, and Mike Martin wrote an article. And in the article, Charlie was quoted saying, "That's the best ride I've ever seen a jockey give a horse." And I didn't realize what that meant until my cousin Diana, my Uncle Milo's daughter, pointed that out to me. She goes, "Do you know what Charlie's saying right there?" I go, "We said I rode a good race." She goes, "No, Longden, Arcaro, Milo, Hardtack, everybody's ridden for Charlie. And for him to say that about you."
Oh, wow.
That was pretty impressive. And, you know, I thank Charlie for that, and God rest his soul. I mean, you could not beat a better horseman. I mean, the Bald Eagle, he soared in the morning. I mean, his horses soared in the afternoon. Yeah, he was a tremendous trainer, great trainer. God rest his soul. And I will never forget him legging me up on Sunday Silence in the Derby.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about praise. Didn't you ride Azari?
No, I didn't ride. I rode Eliza. I rode Arazi.
Yeah,
for Francois Bouton. Yes, for Mr. Paulson. Do you want me to tell you a little story on that one?
Yeah, of course.
Cool. Well, I was riding that year, 91, and the summertime, and Mr. Paulson contacted my agent and said, "I'd like to get Patrick on this horse that's coming from Europe to run in a Breeders' Cup." So Mr. Paulson invited us over to his house for dinner in Holby Hills. And this house, the living room is bigger than my whole house, you know. So I'm in this big old mansion, and I'm having a dinner with Mr. and Mrs. Paulson and my agents there. And so I go there to watch Arazi's replays because I got the mount on him. So we go to this big living room, probably about half the size of a football field. And we're sitting there talking, and I'm looking around for a TV to wonder where we're going to look at this race. So Mr. Paulson pulls out his old remote, and down out of the ceiling comes his strop TV, chin on the wall, and projection screen TV. And I'm like, wow, that's a nice TV. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, if you win on a Rossi, I will buy you a TV like that. So so we watched the races, and I watched a Rossi run in Europe. And, of course, he never ran counterclockwise. He never ran on the dirt. He ran on the turf the whole time. So he had a lot of things going against him, as well as being in the 14 post in the first turn at Churchill going a mile and 16th. So I get to Churchill to work the horse, and what does he do? He props and drops me the first time I get on.
I've got a picture of that.
You got a picture of that? Yeah. So he drops me, and I don't let – wait, do I let go? The first time – he got loose. So he got loose, took off. The outriders got him, brought him back. I got back on him. I worked him an easy three quarters with another horse. And, he worked probably, 115, but went the last half in like 48 and change. So that was good enough. Francois Bouton liked the work. And, I was like, I mean, he wasn't a very big colt, but he was very quick. He was agile like a cat. And I still didn't know what I had underneath me because, 48 is not really that, some horses work down there 46 that's, breaking sticks. So I worked the horse. I liked the horse. He's got a fluid way of action and seemed to handle the dirt well. So here we go, race day. And on that day, I did win on opening verse the mile. And then I don't know if it was before Rossi or after. I think it was before Rossi. I'm not quite sure. But Rossi's in the gate. I'm getting in the gate, and I'm in the 14 post. And we break, let me go back to the paddock. To the paddock, we'll go back to the paddock. Getting in the paddock, I walk to the paddock, and I meet see Francois Bouton. I sat with Mr. Paulson, and Mr. Paulson had just informed me that Sheikh Mohammed had just purchased half of a Rossi for $10 million.
Oh, my.
Wow. Right before the race, right? So the Sheikh's in the paddock as well, Sheikh Mohammed, and I say hi to him, and I've ridden horses for him before, so I met him before. But we're in the paddock, and Francois, telling me in his broken English, sell the horse and, just get him comfortable and then try to make a run with him and see where see how it goes, right? So I come out to the post parade, and he's handling the post pretty good, and we get into the gate. We break out of the gate, and I get him relaxed. So Rossi's pretty relaxed going into the first turn, and I'm last. And then as we go into the first turn, I remember passing one horse. So I'm back there, and he's taking the dirt pretty good. He's not really throwing his head or anything. So we get to about the 5/8 pole, and I look up, and I see Bertrando like 20 lengths in front of me. I said, man, my horse is not even into the bid at all. So I went like this. I go, and boy, I thought I did the wrong thing, because this horse put on the afterburners, and I was skiing from that point on. I was like playing pole position, that car game, when you're trying to duck the other cars and not hit them. So I'm going down the backside trying to weave in and out of horses. And I'm like, oh my gosh, when this horse gets to the 3/8 pole, he's going to drop the bit. I'm going to look like a fool. Because, you're at the 5/8 pole. And no horse in my life have I ever seen make a 5/8 of a mile run. So I'm thinking, at the 3/8 pole, I'm going to be dead, right? This is not good. So I'm trying not to bite him too much. By the same time, I'm maneuvering around horses. All of a sudden, from the 5/8 pole of 20 lengths back, I coached second by a half a length to Bertrando at the 3/8 pole. Now, you tell me that quarter wasn't like in 22 and change.
Yeah.
That had to be a 22 quarter for him. And I'm still skiing. I still got my feet on the dashboard. I got all kinds of horse. And I'm going around the turn. And Alex Solis is riding Bertrando. And he takes a look at me and does a double take.
Yeah.
I'm like, in this week, And Alex is like, starts pushing on Bertrando. He can't get him to keep up with my horses. My horse is just like cruising. So at the quarter pole, I actually honestly thought, am I going to wake up in my bed? Is this just going to be a sweet dream or what? And I never felt that feeling in my life before. So we get to the quarter pole. I let him notch out. Entering the stretch, he stays on his left lead the whole way and just opens up like 10 in a heartbeat. By the 16th pole, I was 10 lengths in front. I started taking a good hold of him, and I could have probably went a lot faster, but I just eased him up. And I was so impressed. I couldn't believe it. I was so impressed that the ABC Sports or whatever sports it was at the 7-H Bowl. The stand was there. John Beach was there, I think, or doing the commentaries or whatever. And I'm looking at him going, this is the next Secretariat. You know, I was just like pointing down at Rozzy. I couldn't even believe the feeling that I had on. I mean, it was the most electrifying feeling I've ever had on a racehorse. It was just
it was fantastic to watch. Wow, I'll never forget it.
Yes, yeah. It was.
It was kind of like that move you're talking about, Secretariat, coming out in the first turn in the Preakness. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Going to turn?
Yeah.
That kind of look, you know, I mean, just
gone,
you know.
I just couldn't believe he sustained that 5/8 of a mile run because, you know, I've never had a horse run further than maybe 3/8 kicking like that and keep going, you know. And he just made them look like they were all tied to a post, you know. It was a very agile two-year-old, a very smart two-year-old, and he didn't grow much as a three-year-old. And, you know, we realized he had a chip in his knee after the Breeders' Cup, and they took him back to France, and they took the chip out, took him back to France, and let him rehab there. And then we had one easy mile racing him right before the Derby, which is a mile and 139, Stevie Cawthon rode him because he had a contract with the Sheik in France, yes.
Yeah.
England, I think it was. France, England, one of the two.
I believe it was France.
Either way, he had a contract with the Sheik, and he was contracted to ride his horses. So he rode him there. He ran a 1 mile race and won it easy, but it wasn't much of a productive race as a foundation for what you have to have to go into the Kentucky Derby, because these 3-year-olds are working all year long. They're prepping with some big races and probably at least have 4 or 5 good stake races underneath their belt before they come here. And this horse is coming off a knee injury, chip in his knee, and 1 mile race on the turf, which was just very easy, more like a work for him. So I think that the foundation that we couldn't get into him might have caused him the ability to run the way he ran in the Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, he ran like a short horse in the Derby.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I was, you know, I was just
so he made sad. A nice move as well as I can remember on,
he did.
On a turn.
He made a nice move to about the 5/16 pole, and then after that it was he was swimming out there. He was just But, you know, he didn't grow much either after that. He didn't, as a 2-year-old, he pretty much didn't look much different as a 3-year-old. Maybe grew a little bit, but not much. But still, he's a horse I'll never forget in my life. And I don't think anybody will forget as far as seeing the Breeders' Cup or watching the races on replays.
Yeah, that's one of those you'll never forget, you know. He'd gone into the Breeders' Cup race, I think that was his 4th grade one well. I think he had 3 grade 1 group 1 stakes going into it.
Yeah,
did you see it? Did he show you any of those?
That's when I went to Mr. Paulson's house to watch those replays. And sure enough, after I won the Breeders' Cup, he went out himself and picked, because I couldn't have that big TV in my house. There's no way he could put it in my house, right? so he went out, him and Madeline, and picked out the best picture tube TV they had at the time and delivered it to my house, which is really cool because Mr. Paulson was a very generous man. I'll never forget what he did for me. And, you know, he grew up sweeping pool halls.
I know. He's the greatest guy.
He was such a down-to-earth person. And, you know, you meet so many of these CEOs of these big companies, and, you know, they start from the ground up, a lot of them. You know, they didn't get it handed to them. And I my hat's off to them. I mean, they worked for it. So, you know, most of the people in the thoroughbred industry are really down-to-earth people. I mean, you got the guy like Gary Barber. He's just so nice. And, I mean, just so many people in this industry. I can't name them all. I mean, look at Arthur Hancock, you know.
Yeah,
Arthur's
great.
Have you gone to see Arthur?
I want to go out to Stone Farm. I mean, let me tell you about when I was coming to watch
the Let me take
Derby.
A break right here.
Let's do a little commercial break for everybody.
Wait a minute, Jackie. Let me do mine first. Right. Well, Interdab has sired 12% black type horses from starters, among them the likes of Greater Good, a multiple graded stakes winner of over 546,000, and a track record breaker at Churchill. He had Hard Hoof, a graded stakes winner in New York. He's earned over 518,000. Plus such stakes winners as Dab Nabbit and Laurentad Ice and Kowatin Ice and Torino and Dunn Listening, to mention just a few of his black type runners. Fact is, Interdab has sired more than 20 individuals that have earned more than $100,000 each, and his average starter earns right at $60,000. That's some 30 times the stud fee, a $2,000 live foal. A superb source of speed, Interdab won multiple graded stakes sprinting, earned over $531,000, stands at Shadwell Farm, home also grade one winners Albertus Maximus and De Hare. Both of those, of course, proven graded stakes, sires of graded stakes winners. De Hare, by Awesome Again, is also a proven sire of graded stakes winners. Call the stallion manager, Kent Barnes, over at Shadwell Farm. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Quillen Leather and Tack is located in Paris, Kentucky. They are quality service and leather goods since 1982. They're the nation's largest custom halter shop, and they ship out 20,000 halters a year, and that's worldwide. Any kind of halter you want, they got it, or they'll make it for you. They've got brass nameplates. They've got shanks. They've got stallion shanks. They have, this is foaling season. I think there's a sale on foal halters. If there wasn't, there is now. You get some. You get something off. Yeah, Michael, you don't need foal halters.
No, we don't. But we got those. We got some really nice leather keychains made for everybody, and we're going to give those to the people who are members.
Oh, nice!
Who sign up every year for a membership to Old Friends, and they get it with their the Old Friends on it in the year. So whenever they come to an event, if you're a member, you don't have to pay anything. You know?
Yeah.
Just
oh, that's
in, so
nice.
They're going to be there. Admission. And Ralph made a whole bunch of them for us.
Oh, that's excellent. How about Twitches? Did they make a Twitch for you, for Diane?
They won for Michael.
Yeah.
I know. That's what
that's been suggested on numerous occasions.
And you've got all those cats out there. Oh, don't forget Rooster Brew. Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
I don't have to drive to Paris anymore. I go to Red State Barbecue in Georgetown.
I know. It's great. Do you know if somebody complained in Paris and they had to move the food trucks and there was such a ruckus raid, the food trucks are back. So don't forget to stop in at Rooster Brew and go to Quillen.com for leather, Quillin.com.
Well, competitive edge won grade one stakes at two and graded stakes in record time at three. Won his first start as a two-year-old at Saratoga by over 10 lengths. Coasted home in 109-4, then came right back to win the Grade 1 Hopeful Stakes. He won that by 6. He was undefeated as a two-year-old. At 3, he set a new track record in the Grade 3 Pat Day Mile at Churchill. He went won by 4.5 lengths, 134 flat, to best the record set by Horse of the Year and Champion Sire Akak. That was in 1969, and he won the Tamarack Stakes by over 8 lengths. Competitive Edge is one of 8 stakes winners, 7 graded stakes winners, 3 grade 1 winners from the first crop by Super Saver. A list that includes champion sprinter Run Happy and the winner of the Classic Alabama Stakes Embellish the Lace. Competitive Edge, Precocious 2, sold for $750,000 as a 2-year-old. Super looking horse, stands his first season at stud, $12,500. Doing a foal stands in nurses, stands over at Ashford Stud. Where standing champion sires is a tradition. Call the farm at 859-873-7088. See the website at coolmore.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
Talking to Patrick Valenzuela. He's sitting over here
about one of his old friends.
Pardon?
We were just talking about one of his old friends.
Who's that?
Ruhlman.
Yeah, I rode a horse named Ruhlman for Mr. and Mrs. Jerry Moss. And what a horse he was. I mean, he was a grand-looking horse, big son of a gun, and he would just drag you around there. I set the track record on him at Santa for a mile, and then Gary Stevens went on to win the Santa Handicap on him later that same year. But he was a great horse, very good horse.
He was the first big horse we ever got when Jerry and Ann, you know, when Jerry said you could have him.
Oh, nice.
And then when we got him, I realized why we got him, because he was tough.
Yeah.
And he tried to, you know, if he didn't like you, you know, he didn't like it.
Yeah, and very aggressive horse.
He didn't want to be dragged around. And as soon as he realized that, okay, this is my paddock, and this is my water, and this is my running jet, and the bald-headed guy is just going to come give me grain and carrots, yeah. it everything changed. And Jay Hubdy told me that he thought, when we first got him, Jay did a little story on it, and Jay told me that this was the meanest horse that he'd ever seen in his life. And
and
Peggy Whittingham told me it was the only horse Charlie was ever afraid of.
So, I'll tell you what, there's one horse I think was a little bit meaner. Back in when I was getting ready for the Derby with Sunday Silence, I came out to visit the farms. So I was with my significant other at the time and my agent and his wife, and we went out to Claiborne Farms to see Secretariat. Mm-hmm. Secretariat was such a docile, nice horse. I mean, we got to stand next to him, we got to hold him, we got to take pictures with him. So I wanted to go see Stone Farms. I wanted to go see Halo, because you know, he Sonny's Halo, and then he had my horse Sunday Silence. So I wanted to go see him really bad. So we went over to Stone Farm and went over to see the farm manager, and then they pointed me down to the stallion barn. So I went down to the stallion barn, and I walk up to the stall, and the stall is dark. I mean, the barn is dark. I look in the stall, and it's got a big old web cage in front of them. I mean, you can't even get in the, can't even put your hand in the stall. And I look in the back of the stall, and there's this big black horse. I mean, dusty, just dust sitting back there. And he's looking at you. I mean, it's like his eyes are just looking at you from the back of the stall. And he's got a muzzle on. And I'm like, well, you know, they'll brush him off, bring him out. I can take pictures of him, right? So I asked the gentleman there, I go, do you mind if I take a picture with Halo? I mean, I ride his son in the Derby. They go, are you serious? That horse has sent 28 men to the hospital, killed a man. We need 3 men to handle the horse when he goes to breeding. There's no way we're bringing that horse out. There's no way you're going in that stall with him. I go, are you serious? You can't even take the muzzle off so I can take a picture? We cannot take that muzzle off, and we're not going to take it off. So, I mean, Halo was a very, very fierce horse. I mean, and, you know, he sired 2 Derby winners, and, you know, that's where they got their fire from Halo. I mean, he was he also sired Goodbye Halo, the filly. I mean, he was a great sire, and he did good for Mr. Hancock, and I just wish I would have got a picture with him. But it was kind of like Black Beauty, you know, big, mean horse that they're – remember when they had that scene in the movie where he's going across on the ship, and he's in the back of the stall, and nobody can get in there with him but the little boy. So yeah. I almost felt like I was that little boy, but it's okay. I got your right, Sunny Silence.
I'm going to ask you something.
Sure.
What relation is Ishmael Valenzuela to you?
He's my uncle. He's my father's brother. And he won the Derby twice, and I won it once. I think we're the only family to have 2 jockeys from the same family win the Derby. We probably look that up, and I think I'm correct on that one. But
he's your uncle.
He's my uncle. He won Tim Tam and Forward Pass.
Did you ever talk to him about Kelso?
Oh, yeah. I mean, shoot. I talked to all kinds of people about Kelso. I mean, when Arquero retired, they put Shoemaker on him. Shoemaker couldn't hold his head up, so Arquero told the owners, they go, you need to put Milo on that horse. And from there on, I mean, they won 3 more Horse of the Year awards. So, yeah. I mean, for any horse to win 5 Horse of the Year awards,
pretty good.
One after the other is pretty impressive. I mean,
come from a racing family then.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, I was practically born on a racehorse, so that's what I thought I was born to do. And then, you know, I tore my mom's couch up with my dad's whip when I was a little kid and had to buy a new couch when I started working. You know, but I mean, all I ever wanted to do was get on the back of a horse, and I've been very blessed to do that.
Yeah.
So I've been very blessed in every aspect of riding horses.
I was at the Hall of Fame then when they put Milo into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, he deserved it.
That was
it for
so
a long
great.
Time.
A long time. That's right.
He deserved it
a long time. He waited too long, but nevertheless, they finally got the message.
Was your father involved with horses too?
My father was a jockey. He rode for Frank Christmas, and he rode for Desilu Stables out in California. And he went back east to New York. He rode at Aqueduct. He rode at the Old Jamaica Racetrack, and he didn't ride. He didn't have the career that Milo had, and you know, there was Milo, Angel, Mario. My father, Albino, Santiago, and then they had a brother, Martin, that was a trainer. So there was pretty much all the boys were in the industry.
Yeah.
And then I have 4 brothers, and they're all in the industry as well. My brother, AC, rode in Sutherland Park, New Mexico. He rode at Turf Paradise. He now works for Peter Hurton in California and puts the head numbers on the horses as well. He's got a good job doing that for years and years. And my brother JR rode in New Mexico. He's getting on horses there right now. He's an agent as well. My brother Fabian was a jockey, and he does carpenter work now. My brother Jamie is working for Judmont right now, and he's here in Lexington, and he lives here, and his family's here. That's why I'm here visiting my brother Jamie, and he works with Peter Fanahan as well, helping him shoot horses. He's his apprentice right now.
Is that why you're here, to come up to see your brother?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I hurt my hand, and I'll be off. Oh, I just got released from the doctor yesterday, but I'll be here until probably Tuesday, and I just wanted to come see the farms and see my family, of course, Jamie and his family, his kids. We were playing in a park yesterday, but you know, it's life short when when you get a little older, as you gentlemen know, that things mean different. A lot of things mean a lot more with family, and
yeah.
You know, it's always good to see family and see friends, and
yeah.
You know.
Well, where'd you ride your first winter?
I rode my first winter on November 19th at Sunland Park, New Mexico, in 1978.
They're running there right now.
Yes, they are. Well, they had that outbreak and had the horses quarantined, but
that's
now
right.
They just recently, last week, got back to racing, thank God, because there's a lot of good horsemen there, a lot of people that work their heinies off, you know, and for them to have that disease there and not be able to race, I mean, it takes money. I mean, nobody's making any money. You know, they're feeding horses, training horses, but, you know, when you don't race, you don't make money.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
So, you know, my hat goes off to them back at home, and I wish them nothing but the best, and hopefully that'll never happen again, because you don't want to see any horse get sick or you know, have that kind of disease hit them. But, getting back to Stone Farm, when I was at Stone Farm and I didn't get to see Halo or pet him or anything, I did get to ride Sunday Silence, you know, and that was a tremendous feeling in the Derby. And of course, you guys remember the Preakness. I mean, that was I'm just very blessed to be part of that race. That was a race I would never forget for the rest of my life.
Amazing! I still have my Sunday Silence hat.
Do you?
Nice.
Yeah. Just a black hat with the white squiggle on it.
Arthur gave you that?
Yeah. The white anvil. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Looks like anvil.
It was like the Nike swoosh in Japan. The Japanese come and they all have them.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the Michael Jordan in Japan.
Oh, yeah. When they took him to Japan, he became the only horse with 1,000 greatest stakes offsprings.
Yeah. And when they bought War Emblem, who he just got back, they thought he was going to be the next Sunday Silence.
Yeah.
And when he started out like a house of fire. I mean, it was like, let's go. And he had tremendous winners, and he had stakes winners, and he had a horse of the year. He had all kinds of things going on, and then he just decided not interested anymore.
You know, it's crazy, but Sunday Silence is a black horse, and he is Japan's black beauty. I mean, it's just black stallion. I mean, he went over there, and all his offsprings are great sires. I mean, all the farms have a piece of Sunday Silence in the bloodline, and you look at all the greatest stakes. I mean, there's so much Sunday Silence in the bloodlines over there. It's unbelievable. And I mean, the Japan Cup, I mean, any big race you see, graded races, there's some Sunday Silence offsprings, generations of Sunday Silence in there, and he just turned out to be a tremendous sire. And I take my hat off to Easy Goer. He was the grandest looking horse I think I've ever seen, but Sunday Silence proved it in racing, and he proved it in the breeding shed. You know, he really did.
Absolutely great. Have you ever heard Arthur Hancock's song, Sunday Silence?
Yeah, I heard he played it on the guitar one time for me. I did hear it. Archer's a great songwriter, and he's just a great composer of music. I mean, I wish more of his music was out there.
His son's awful good, too.
Is he?
Yeah, they're
great.
You know, I wrote a song myself, and it's called It's Derby Day. You could Google it on the internet. Eddie Cunningham sings it for me. He's a singer in Los Angeles, and it's called Derby Day. It's if you Google it on the internet, it's Derby Day, and sung by Eddie Cunningham. I wrote the lyrics, and it turned out okay too. I like to say that it's only a demo, and I'd like to get somebody like Toby Keith or somebody to sing it, because I think it could be a hit. I really do.
Okay.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
we'll have to get a copy and play it next week on the show.
All right.
Yeah.
I will get a copy of it.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I have a copy at my brother's house. I'll try to make a copy and bring it in for you by the time I leave, okay?
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Yeah, that'd be good. And I could rap a little bit, you know.
Uh-oh. This is great.
I just said, bling, bling, this is an all-star jockey thing. You know, I wish you could sing, but my voice is so raspy. I think I'm so nasty. But if you give me a horse, I'll take him to the course. If he has any speed, I'll put him on the lead. Heck, you could even bet. I'll bring you back a check. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7. That makes 11. 11 jocks. I'll put them in a locket. Put them in my pocket. I'm going to show them who's mean. I'm going to show them who's a king.
Oh, Lordy.
Herschel's good. I think Ursula's going to rap next week.
Yeah, Ursula's got to come over there.
No. I watched that Belmont Stakes with you and him when Easy Goer beat you down.
Oh, you going to make me cry now or what?
No, I tell you, I was at River Downs running a horse that day, and you didn't win, but we did.
Yeah, I bet you did. Well, you know what? I'll tell you what. That big red horse had never got beat at the Belmont Racetrack. He never got beat there. And, you know, the day before, it was raining cats and dogs, and Sunday Silence loved the slop. So I was like licking my chops. I was thinking, we got this. The next morning, I don't know if it was the first time in the history of Belmont or not, but they didn't open for training. They started working on that track, turning over that sand. Oh, they had them tractors out there working all day long. By the time of race time, it was back to the sandy track. I don't think I would have beat him that day anyways. He was just he was on his game that day, and he loved that big racetrack. And Sunday Silence, he ran a good race. He ran a good second that day. He just I wish it was more of a battle to the stretch like Aladar and Firm, but it's okay.
Yeah. Well, it's like Muhammad Ali, he didn't win every fight either.
There you go.
All right. Well, I'm top at the hour here again. And I'm running about a commercial break behind.
Well, I'm going to go. I got to go. We got people coming on tours.
Well, Patrick, I'm going to let you go. I've got some other people I got to get on.
Okay, well, when you want me back on, I'm willing to come on and talk to you about the stories and hear some of your stories. I'd like to hear some of your stories.
Oh, no, please. God help us.
Best thing about my story.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for everything.
Best thing about my story, Patrick, is that I'm so old, I can get on here and just lie like a dog. Nobody knows the difference.
That's okay. When you need some help, I'll come help you out. How's that?
All right, anytime.
All right, God bless you, and God bless the thoroughbred racing industry, and everybody keep coming to the races. We need to give it support. We need the fans out there. We need the horsemen out there. We need to stop this simulcast wagering. We need to get the fans out there, to get the real-life fans out there, and I appreciate you all supporting me. God bless you all.
Sound like another rap job, but
I saw another song coming on.
Well, Dirt Monster's recent score in the $75,000 Budweiser Stakes at Sunland was his third stakes win. He won two stakes and placed in four of those last year, and he's earned right at $300,000. He's from the first crop by Line of David. So is Firing Line, winner of the Grade 3 $400,000 Sunland Derby, second in the Grade 1 Kentucky Derby, and two more graded stakes, including the Grade 1 he earned over $974,000. Cross the Line, winner of the $100,000 California Derby, and second in the Grade 3 El Camino Derby and Combat Diver. Second in Law's $100,000 Miracle Wood Stakes and Caroline Jasmine Stakes placed at the fairgrounds, and Wrong Side 29's placed in a couple of stakes. Grade 1 winner Line of David is siring hard-hitting runners with class and progeny, is doing very well in the sales ring. Last year, Jeering sold for up to $190,000 in its stud fee, $3,500 doing the full stands and nurses. And he's eligible for Spendthrift's Popular Breed Secure Program. Why don't you call Des Dempsey, or Brian Lyle, or Mark Toothacker at 859-294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All righty. I want to talk about a couple of sponsors here that I happen to believe in, Lubricin and Reborn. They're great products, two great products that were developed by one of the nation's leading veterinarians, Dr. Steve Alday. Steve's got a beautiful farm down around Shelbyville. And those two products are endorsed by many owners and trainers and veterinarians, and they're test-free. They're all natural. You don't have to worry about going into the spit box. Lubricin sustains the integrity of joint fluid, and it helps reduce the need of such things as acid injections and things like that. I'll tell you who uses it. Anytime you see a horse going to the post with saddled by Todd Pletcher, Tony Dutrow, Jerry Hollandoffer, and Mike Maker, and boy, they've saddled a whole lot of runners. Well, you can bet that they're running on Lubricin. And they have it for humans, too. I use it, and as old as I am, it helps me. That tastes real good, too. You can buy that at Old Friends, at KBC in Lexington, or at Horse Sense down in Versailles. You want to learn a little bit more about Lubricin, go to lubricin.com. Now, the other product, Reborn, is what it is. You use it to strengthen the immune system, and it's great to start with foals, and this is a foaling season, and it really, it strengthens the foal's immune system while he's nursing on the mare because of its high concentration of growth factors and antibodies. Actually, it supports immune functions in horses of all ages. A lot of people use it at the racetrack also. And for more information about Reborn, go to reborne.com, and you can buy that at the same place. Old Friends, KBC in Lexington, Horse Sense down in Versailles. Two great products, Lubricin and Reborn. Well, 2016 looms as another outstanding year for Broken Vow. Two of the top three fillies sold at the recent Phasing Tipton, Florida 2-year-olds in training sale were by Broken Vow, each sold for $450,000, so you know that they look and act like runners. Then on March 5, Take It to the Edge, a 3-year-old Cobra Broken Vow, was designated rising star status by Thoroughbred Daily News after winning his first start, won by an impressive 7 3/4 lengths. The colt is a $135,000 graduate of the September sales at Keeneland, bred by Mill Ridge Farm et al. The demand for Broken Vow's progeny is strong because he sires runners. 69 stakes winners, 12 just last year, and 134 stakes horses, 18 last year. He's also a rising star as a broodmare sire. For instance, Eclipse Award winner Run Happy and a Grade 1 winner Hampton Court over here at Stud over at Spendthrift Farm. Now, both out of Broken Vow mares. Broken Vow stands for $25,000 doing a full stands of nurses at Pin Oak Stud. Home also of the Stallions, Alternation, and Cowboy Cal. Inquiries at Clifford Berry and Nancy Stevens at 859-873-1420. See the website at pinoakstud.com.
You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursula Lely.
You can get it. All right, Jackie, you want to do some your announcements?
Sure, I got a few. We're going to call Amy because
Amy Parker?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
From Macaulay's, because Thursday night is St. Patrick's Day, and they're having a do at Alltech at the brewery. That thing is down. Let me think. What's the name of that? You go out like you're going out Versailles Road, and when you get down there where it used to be Irish Town, may still be Irish Town, you see it on the left, and you go in there and park. It's going to be really nice. But we're going to get Amy on to talk about it. Huh?
Maxwell Street?
No, it's the other side of Maxwell. You keep going. It's not Maxwell. It's something like... Okay, and never mind. She'll tell us. Now, retired racehorse project. You put this in there. It's going to be a hoedown at Haggard, presented by the retired racehorse project. Begin at 6 o'clock in the Sport Horse Covered Arena at Haggard Equine Medical Institute on April 30th. I didn't know they had a covered arena, a sport horse covered arena. Anyway, the proceeds will go to the Thoroughbred Makeover and National Symposium, $100,000 training competition for over 500 Thoroughbreds beginning second careers in 10 riding sports at the horse park on the last weekend of October. They did this last year. It was a huge success. It was enormous. Okay, we're out here at the Thoroughbred Center out on Paris Pike. Want to remind you that guided tours open up April 1st, April Fool's Day, through October 31st, Monday through Saturday at 9 o'clock. So if you've got people coming in from out of town, they want to come, it's a good time to come. 9 o'clock is when the horses work. So it's great. $15 a person, kids are $8, groups $10 a person, and they've got school tours. Oh, I remember my sister, Sarah Sweat, was principal at Emma Ward School in Lawrenceburg, and one day I went down there to visit her, and she had a picture of all these little kids standing out in front of a horse's stall, and there were about 25 little hands reaching up, petting all over this horse. I looked at that thing, and that was our horse. That was Coach, and I thought that was so cute. The kids love tours out here. So just get yourself to Main Street or New Circle Road and head toward Paris. Easy to find. My mom. 293-1853 is the phone number. Now, tonight is the Woodford Hounds Hunt Ball, and it is at the Embassy Suites. Get tickets at the door. Ursula's not going because it's... He doesn't have an evening dress.
It says on the invitation, it says formal dress, and I don't own a formal dress.
So he can't go. So Betsy and I are going to be fun. It's a good time. If you want tickets or you want to make reservations and pay when you get there, call Connor McCarthy, 229-2492. Unbelievable, some of the stuff that's going to be on for a tour. Wyoming Antelope Hunt for two people. Woo, an oil painting by Kelly Brewer. That's wonderful. Cocktail party for 30 at Dudley's because she hunts with Woodford. Hunting package for five hunters at Green Creek Hounds and Tryon, North Carolina. It is not Tryon, it's Tryon. Oh, a week stay in the Exotic Villa, San Miguel de Allende in the Mexico. So, anyway, back to Ursula.
Yeah, let me interrupt you there. Last Sunday at Aqueduct, the $125,000 Jimmy Wingfield Stakes was won by Awesome Gent, three-year-old son of Awesome Again. Bred and owned by Burning Sand Stable, trained by Todd Pletcher, Awesome Gent won three of his four starts, his last three in a row. Broke his maiden on December 15th of his two-year-old year, won by 8.5 lengths. Came back on January the 15th to win by 6.25. And he won the Jimmy Wingfield Stakes by 4. Awesome Gent, another runner by Awesome Again. There's always another runner by Awesome Again. Awesome Again, the world's number one sire of grade one winners on the dirt. Winner of the Breeders' Cup Classic and sire of Breeders' Cup Classic winner, Ghost Zepper. Awesome Again is the leading active sire of Breeders' Cup, winners of Breeders' Cup races. He sired 9 millionaires, 5 multimillionaires, 14 grade one winners. He is, by any measure, one of the nation's elite sires. And that's why sales yearlings averaged over 162,000 last year. Stands at Adena Springs, Kentucky. Call Cormac Breathnuck or Jack Brothers at 859-987-1798 and take a look at the website, adenastallions.com.
Hear this. Fox Sports 1580 is available everywhere you want to listen on our free iHeartRadio app. Download it now. WWTF Georgetown, Lexington.
Well, a proud citizen has sired an Eclipse Award winner. He's sired 4 champions. He's sired 2 winners of the Kentucky Oaks. He's sired 72 black type horses. He's sired over 14% of his starters to win a place in stakes. And that's a lot of run for the stud fee. Proud citizen stands for 7,500 live foal. And here's another plus. Last year's yearling sold for up to $285,000. Now, Proud Citizen's Kentucky Oaks winners are Proud Spell and Believe You Can. Proud Spell has also won the Classic Grade 1 Alabama Stakes, and she won other stakes, of course. She's earned over $2,131,000. Believe You Can also earned over $1 million, $1,280,234 to be exact. Then there is Vamos a Galpier, a Grade 1 winner and champion in Chile that came to the USA and won the Grade 2 Santa Ana Stakes out at Santa Anita. And the crack New York Stakes winner, Mark Mavilinski, he's earned over $658,000. And it happened again, a graded stakes winner of nearly $700,000, and a graded stakes winner, Patriot and Proud, winner of over $575,000. The list goes on and on, but it's just a two-hour show. Proud Citizen Fee, $7,500 live foal, and Mr. and Mrs. Brereton, C. Jones, Airdrie Stud. See the website, airdriestud.com, and keep in mind that the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Horsehead.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations and why a new generation is using APR online.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center and Ursula Ellis.
Well, I have Amy Parker with me, who is with, of course, Macaulay's feeds down in Paris, no, Versailles, Kentucky. I forget that. I drove down there just the other day to go to Versailles to pick
and
it up.
And they brought us feed just yesterday.
Yeah, right. Amy, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're doing fine. I tried to have you on a little bit earlier, but better late than never. And y'all got a shindig going on with Alltech here pretty soon, I understand.
We do. On Thursday, March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the Alltech and Macaulay Brothers were putting on the News and Brews down at the Alltech Brewing and Distilling Company on Cross Street in Lexington, down near Rupp Arena. We're going to have a panel of 4 folks talking about how or building an equine champion. We'll have Dan Rosenberg, who was president and general manager of Three Chimneys, and now has his own consulting firm. Aaron Pullen, who also used to train thoroughbreds and now is the head owner and head trainer at Go Big Eventing and Dressage. Dr. Jorge Colon, which is a Central Kentucky veterinarian who works in multi-disciplines, and then myself. And we'll be talking about building an equine champion, and we want to invite everybody to come on down.
Oh, that sounds like fun. We'll be there.
Yeah.
What time does this take for, what time are we supposed to be there now?
Right. So we'll have registration between 5 and 5:30, and then the schedule is between 5:30 and 6. There'll be brewery tours and as well as drinks at the pub. They're going to be serving free Alltech ale, the Kentucky ale.
Oh, that's good stuff, too.
I'm not sure if it's going to be green beer or not with it being St. Patrick's Day. I haven't been told, but
funny.
The pub will be open, and then we'll be having hors d'oeuvres And seating everyone around 6 with the program starting at 6:30.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like fun.
It's going to be, I'm really excited. We've had a great response to it, and, you know, still open. If anybody wants to come, just call McCauley Brothers. The phone number is 859-873-3333. Ask for myself, Amy Parker, or Mike Warren, and we'll make sure we put your name on the list.
Oh, okay. Well, put our names on the list.
We're already on the list.
You're already on there, so you guys were A number one, top of the list.
Oh, okay. Good Lord. Well,
we'll start position there.
We'll start drinking the minute we get there. It's 6 o'clock somewhere, you know.
That's right.
Who is doing the presentation?
So Dan, like I said, Dan Rosenberg is one of the panelists from Three Chimneys, or formerly from Three Chimneys, and he now has a consulting firm. And then Aaron Pullen is a former thoroughbred race trainer, and she now does eventing and dressage. Dr. Jorge Colon is a veterinarian, and then myself.
Oh, okay, good.
We're not just limiting. I want to, you know, we're not just limiting it to thoroughbred. It's to all disciplines, because as you guys know, so many of our thoroughbred and standardbred race horses, after the racing careers end, they have second careers as pleasure horses and show horses. So it's for all disciplines, any shape, size, whatever, of horse. You know, that's what we do at McCauley. We don't do anything but the horse. So
that's right. That's what it's been for decades now. I think y'all were the first feed mill in the nation to just do produce feeds exclusively for the horse.
Absolutely.
Are you the ones?
You have to do it right.
Are you the one first ones to come up with pellets?
That's what I was always told, that as far as at least in Kentucky, and I believe it was in the United States, we were the first feed mill to come up with pelleted feed for horses. Now, there were pelleted feeds apparently for other livestock, but not for horses. So yeah. Graham McCauley was a man well ahead of his time.
Well, I think he worked with Lee Eaton, as a matter of fact, and of course, Lee's one of the all-time great horsemen from around here.
Absolutely.
And I think he was the one that got together with you old folk, with you, the McCauleys down there to get that developed, you know. I think Dr. Johnny Griggs was in on that too.
Yes, sir. And Chuck Kidder. I mean, we've got certainly a who's who of horsemen behind us with our history. We are quite blessed.
They all raised a lot of runners, I know that.
That's for sure.
Yeah. Well, Amy, Jackie knows where that is. I'm trying to picture in my mind. Is this where we went last time?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So it's sort of across the street and down the road just a little bit, about a quarter mile past Rupp Arena there on High Street.
While you are going out Versailles Road, if you're going out Versailles Road, you pass Rupp, which is
High Street.
Go out High Street, and it dumps on Versailles Road, and about a half a block down on the left, you see the Alltech thing, and you said that's Cross Street. I didn't know the name of that street.
It's the technical address is 401 Cross Street.
Well, save us a seat at the bar.
And a cold beer, green.
Absolutely. I'll save you a spot.
We'll be wearing our green for St. Patrick's Day.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, Amy. Well, thank you.
All right.
Looking forward to it.
Yep. See you Thursday. Have a good day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, last year, first crop yearlings by Algorithm sold for up to $110,000. Then on March 2, his first two-year-old to sale went for $180,000. That was at the Facy Tipton, Florida sale, and the sale was a Gulfstream. Of course, that was the scene of Algorithm's impressive win in the Grade 3 Holy Bull Stakes over the previous year's Eclipse Award-winning colt, Hansen. It was the Tappet colt's first defeat, and Algorithm's bested him by 5 widening lengths. Injured shortly thereafter, Algorithms retired undefeated for stud duties at Claiborne Farm. And that's reminiscent of another highly regarded colt that was similar credentials, that retired undefeated and went to Claiborne Farm a few years back. The Great Danzig. Algorithms stands for $100,000, and he is one of 6 stakes winners, 5 greatest stakes winners out of the high-class race mare, Ava Knows the Colt. It's a superior running family with first crop yearlings going for up to 110,000 and first crop 2-year-olds for 180,000. Algorithm stud fee of $5,000 payable when the full stands and nurses is a real bargain. Call Bernie Sams at 859-233-4252 and see the website at FabianFarm.com. Well, let's see where we are now. We're going to talk about my favorite real estate people in the whole wide world. And that would be Hill and Reagan Parker. And here's their website. You need to go to it because they've got a great website. It's LexHorseFarms.com, L-E-X-HorseFarms.com. And I'll give you the phone number here in just a few minutes. But they've got present listings in Fayette, Bourbon, and Jesmond, Woodford, Scott, and Clark County. Outstanding variety of locations and sizes and prices and so forth, you know. There is a nice-sized farm down in Paris. I don't think it's been developed yet, but it's got it's over on Clintonville Road. Great price, $484,000. It's got a beautiful home on it, and it's 19 and a half acres. Great location out in the country. Can't beat that. Build your house just or add on to it just as if you want to. Be a wonderful place to go to. Another farm. There's 270-acre farm. Let's see where this one is right now. It's on Brentsville Road. That's close to us. And 100 acres plus or minus tillable of it, you know. So that's, it's 106 acres for $850,000. And it's a 1378 Brentsville Road. And it's be a wonderful place. It could easily be converted to a horse farm. And it's a wonderful lay of the land. That's great land right in there, too. And as I say, they've got just a wonderful website, LexHorseFarms.com. And Hill and Reagan, the nicest people you'd ever want to meet. And I tell you what, they work real hard for you. I know a lot of people that they've listed farms for them, sold farms, that they've sold farms for them. Farm, you know, and it was just wonderful that they were entirely happy with the way they were treated and whether everything was handled, very professional. And if you're looking for a farm where they'll find a perfect farm for you. And if you want to list your farm, they work real hard to sell it for you. Let me give you that website one more time, LexHorseFarms.com. Hill and Reagan Parker, and here's a phone number. It's a Lexington number, 859-608-8039. Well, the leading money-winning son of Stormy Atlantic, sire more than 100 stakes winners, is Get Stormy. Get Stormy earned $1,606,812, won 9 stakes, 7 of them graded stakes, 3 grade 1s. Grade 1 wins came in Churchill, Keeneland, Gulfstream. He won all 3 in front-running Catch Me If You Can fashion. He also won a pair of graded stakes at Saratoga. In fact, he won 3 graded stakes at Saratoga, plus another graded stakes at Churchill. Another graded stakes at Keeneland, a stakes race at Monmouth Park. He also placed in 6 more stakes, all graded, and he was highly competitive at the grade 1 level for 4 straight years. By the highly successful son of Stormcap, gets Stormy's first foal, so he'll race this year. He's covered 231 mares in his first 2 seasons at stud. He's got numbers going in for him now. And it stands for $5,000. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands up and looks at you. Call Pope McLean's Crestwood Farm. It's a great place to board your mares. And they are, of course, a leading consignor to the major sales. So give them a call, 859-252-3770, and see the website at crestwoodfarm.com.
Now, when we get back to Horsetails with Ursa Lellis.
All righty. KTA, this is from the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, and these are the breeders of Kentucky bred breeders of stakes from last week. And let's take a look at them. Not a whole lot of them this time, but we'll see. The Mac Diamata Handicap, grade 2, of course, Mac Diamata, down in Florida. Now, he was a champion grass horse. Wasn't much of a stud horse, but he'd buy a good stud horse. Anyway, Grand Tito won this one, the $200,000 Mac Diameter. It's a grade 2 race. Candy Ride was the sire of this horse. And bred by my friend Hargis Sexton with Sandra Sexton, his lovely wife, and Ben Walden Jr., another friend. The Grade 2 Gulfstream Park Handicap went to Bow Fell by Quality Road, bred by the Keats Grove Farm. It's Kentucky. I don't know that farm. The Grade 3 Gotham Stakes in New York went to Shagoff. Shagoff, one or two Derby horses racing in the colors of Shadwell Stable. They bred this one. He's by Bernardini. And as I said, he was bred by Shadwell Farm. The Grade 3 Santa Isabel Stakes out at Santa Anita. It's a $100,000 pot there. Songbird. Boy, she's some kind of a filly, isn't she? She won this thing. I mean, she just coasted in a mile and a 16th. And she was in the top by six at the eighth pole and just coasted in and went by 3 3/4 lengths. She's by Madali Doro, bred by John Antonelli. And boy, I tell you what, she's, I don't know if they're going to the Derby with her or not. I'd go Oaks, but I'm chicken. The Heavenly Price Stakes at Aqueduct went to Mei Ling, 5-year-old mare. She's by Empire Maker, bred by Mr. and Mrs. Larry Williams, and of course Empire Maker now in Japan, former Belmont Stakes winner. The Lacombe Memorial Stakes at the fairgrounds went to Princess Arendelle. That's a 3-year-old filly by Divine Park, bred by Shelby Lane Farm. And let's see, the Hot Spring Stakes at Oak Lawn Park went to Subtle Indian by Indian Charlie. Subtle Indian was bred by Mercedes Stables. That was a $100,000 pot down there. He led all the way, had some of that 109-1 he went in. And of course, Indian Charlie was over at Airdrie Stud up until his untimely death. Well, Close Hatches, an Eclipse Award winner of 5 Grade 1 Stakes and over $2,707,000. She's by First Defense. So is Dun Dunnell, a group winner in Britain and earner of more than $1 million.
Yeah, will be, but this is Robert.
Yeah. Robert, you calling me? I start all over again there. I heard somebody said, this is Robert. He must have just done that inadvertently. Okay, let me try that again. Close Hatches, Eclipse Award winner of 5 Grade 1 Stakes and over $2,707,000, is by First Defense. So is Don Donnell, a Group 1 winner in Great Britain and earner of more than $1 million. Irish Jasper, winner of 4 stakes, 3 last year, including a pair of graded stakes, is yet another runner by First Defense. So is Antino. The group winner is a 2-year-old last year in France, and Pimlico Stakes winner, Fame and Power. He won the Sir Barton Stakes and placed in 3 other stakes last year, 2 of them graded. French Stakes winner, Privet Hedge, and Chicago Stakes winner, Pistol Drawn, and the Irish Stakes winner in group place, Tamburlaine. List just goes on. 12% of his starters have earned black type. Last year, yearlings by First Defense sold for up to $240,000. He stands for 7,500 live foal. Stands at Judmont Farm. And First Defense's best crop of 2-year-olds hit the tracks this year. So call Garrett Roker, Aaron Fry out of Judmont. Here's the number. It's an 859 number, 272-7629. And see the website at judmont.com. Well, last Saturday at the fairgrounds, the Lacombe Memorial was won by Princess Arendelle, a 3-year-old filly bred by Sharon Wright's Shelby Lane Farm. And Princess Arendelle was raised on products of Macaulay Brothers. That's Shelby Lane. Just another runner raised on Macaulay products. Last year, they won over 200 stakes, 98 of them graded stakes, and earned over, including 35 grade 1 stakes. And that's a record to be proud of. Macaulay Brothers is certainly not the biggest feed mill in the nation, just the best. They're also the first to produce products exclusively for the horse. At Macaulay's, it's all about the horse. Why don't you give Mike Warren or David Longmire a call, talk to them about your special needs, and be sure to ask about the free services that come with every bag of feed you purchase. The number is 859-873-3333. Take a look at the website at MacaulayBros.com. You're always welcome to stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. And this is worth repeating. At Macaulay's, it's all about the horse. Daily Racing Form, racing's Bible. Here's what I want you to do, though. I want you to log on to dailyracingform.com or drf.com/breeding update and sign up today for that breeding update. You'll find in-depth coverage of breeding news and sales and auction coverage and a whole lot more. And, of course, this is auction time down in Florida right now, the two-year-olds and sales, and I think Barrett's is coming up here pretty quick also. But you'll get all the coverage of the sales. And it, on Tuesday, the Tuesday edition of the Daily Racing Form, incidentally, you get the most comprehensive stakes report available anywhere for owners and breeders on North American stakes results from the previous weekend. You get full details on all black type stakes in North America, pedigrees, detailed progeny reports of the female family, and information on the winning sire, available every Tuesday. And visit drf.com/breeding. So that's, of course, you always, if you're getting a Daily Racing Form, you're getting the best in coverage. Some of the top columnists in the country writing for them. Jay Hoveday is one of my favorites, for incidentally. And you always find news right up to date there and past performances, multiple past performances. The Daily Racing Form. Once again, that's drf.com/breeding, and it's a great paper, and what you need to do is go out right now and buy one.
Oh. You're listening to Horse Tales with Ursulele.
All righty. Jackie, did you ever finish with your notes? I guess you did, didn't you?
No, I did not.
You did not?
No.
Well, get your nose out of that computer over there that you carry around in your purse.
I was just texting my sister. The older Coach Cow gets, the more he looks like my Uncle Searle.
Okay.
I just had to put that in there. Anyway, I was saying about tonight's hunt fall, a week stay in an exotic villa in the charming village of San Miguel, which is the cultural center of Mexico. It is located 6,300 feet up in the central highlands of Mexico. It's just great. It's so pretty. They've got an American Pharaoh meet and greet. And it also comes with a shadow box with American Pharaoh's halter and photos of his wins. How's that? Pretty cool. And they have an Andre Potter print, which is so nice. Lots of pretty, pretty pictures. Trailer inspections from Sally Vans. Clean and pack your wheel bearings and all that good stuff. I'm going to bid on that because that needs to be done. Their leather bridle with rubber sewn in reins from Wise Choice. That's very, very nice. There's a certain kind of bridle you're supposed to wear when you fox hunt. It's not the skinny things with colors on them. They're supposed to be nice, pretty standard, substantial English leather. And then once you've seen English leather, you can tell which is and which ain't. So, and they got all kind of stuff. Now, let me get over here. Oh, yeah, here's Macaulay's News and Brews. That's what we said. March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. Now, what is today's date? Oh, help me. March 12th, right? You know what's today? Annual Fayette County Farm Bureau Farm Equipment Consignment Auction out at the Horse Park. That's today. Yeah, I mentioned it last week. I didn't realize it was open till 5 this afternoon. Go out there. Great stuff. All right. Friday, Road to the Horse in All-Tech Arena. 8... Let's see, from Friday through Sunday, Road to the Horse. And, next Saturday, which is the day before Easter, is Hippity Hoppity Hunt for the campers. So you can go out there in your camper and hippity and hoppity to a fare thee well. Paul Fraser Memorial Combined Test and Dressage Competition is coming up Saturday, March 26th. That's in the dressage area. They have several rings that they keep in really great shape, and they're kind of next door to each other. I think there's a Claiborne ring and so on and so forth. So it's very nice. We're out here at Thoroughbred Center. They have planks and posts for sale. Really, really good prices. And believe me, after this winter, you're going to have to be fixing some stuff. They did ours last fall. Am I right?
Oh,
our fences got done last fall. They look great.
Yeah.
They did such a good job. I don't think there's anything wrong with any of them. Painting them and everything, they look great. They'll last a while. They did a great job.
They put that paint on so thick, it's holding the fences up.
That's it. Something had to hold the fences up. Contact Jim Pendergast at 293-1853. Tell
him
what you need. I did the tours
earlier. You did the tours?
I already did it.
Okay.
High Hope Steeplechase. I'm going to mention this, although it's May 17th, which is Sunday, the day after Preakness. Preakness. It is so much fun. It's all over the internet because we have this tailgating and lawn boxes and entertainment tents. But what is so cool? This is so fun. Terrier races at 11 o'clock. 12 o'clock, the Bluegrass Farm Challenge Pony Races. If you got a kid that wants to ride a pony in that race, call them. I got asked yesterday to sponsor, if I had a kid to sponsor in that pony race. I don't have a kid that does that. I have to give Nori Scheffel, Joyce Brinsfield a call. They need to do that.
I'm in my second childhood. Is that Carrie?
Yeah, can you get on a pony?
Not really. Damn short.
Okay, then the Mounted Police will have a flag presentation. 1:30, the Maiden Claiming Hurdle Race, the David T. Greathouse Memorial. 2:15, race two, it's an allowance optional claiming hurdle. That's the James B. Holloway hurdle. 3 o'clock, the Maiden Hurdle, Kentucky Horse Park Hurdle. Then, after that, the Parade of the Woodford Hounds. Yippee! That's fun. The kids love it. And they take the hounds up to the finish line, and all the kids come out and pet the hounds and pet the horses. It's very nice. 3:45, race 4, Post. Maiden Timber, that's the Jay Trump, who won the Grand National, and then a stick horse races. Where is the ladies' sides? Oh, then they're going to have an Arabian flat race. And then Nara over here, the riding thing for jockeys, Catch a Riding Star, they do that. It's not on here. They are having a ladies' side saddle race. And it is sanctioned by the Side Saddle Association of the United States. So you want to see a bunch of women going out there and jumping over, hopefully, itty-bitty jumps. And there you are. That's coming up. Now, wait a minute. What's today? 13th?
No, Lakeside
Arena is hit.
Last time I looked, it was the 12th.
Oh, yeah. It's 12th on here, too. Today and tomorrow, Hunter Jumper Association is having a show at Lakeside Arena. That's down in Versailles. I guess that's all I got.
That it?
That's it.
Well, Interdab has sired 12% black type horses from starters, among them the likes of Greater Good. He's a multiple greatest stakes winner, earned over $546,000, set a new track record at Churchill. He had Hard Hoof, a graded stakes winner in New York, earned over $519,000, plus such stakes winners as Dab Nabbit, Lauren Tide Ice, Keewatin Ice, Ayatura, Done Listening, to mention just a few of his black type runners. Fact is, Interdab has sired more than 20 individuals that earn more than $100,000 each, and his average starter earns right at $60,000, and that's some 30 times the stud fee of $2,000 live foal. Superb source of speed, Interdab won multiple graded stakes sprinting. He earned over $531,000. He's over at Shadwell Farm, home also of Grade 1 winners Albertus Maximus and De Hare. Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile winner Albertus Maximus sired two stakes winners, including a group stakes winner in his first crop of two-year-olds last year. De Hare by Awesome Again is also a proven sire of graded stakes winners. Give stallion manager Kent Barnes a call over at Shadwell Farm. Ask about breeding incentives and see the website at shadwellfarm.com.
Want unlimited access to pedigrees for more than 2 million foals? Then Brissette.com's American Produce Records is for you. Updated in real time and available on demand, go to Brissette.com/APR. Optimized for tablet and mobile, Brissette.com's APR online is the place for instant access to a wealth of information on nearly every North American thoroughbred dating back more than a century. race records, public auction prices, pedigree statistics, and more, all included for $275 per year. Visit brissette.com/APR and discover why the APR has been the choice of bloodstock and racing professionals for generations, and why a new generation is using APR online.
Well, the leading Sire Stakes winners this year is congrats, the son of Sire Sire's AP Indy. Congrats to Sire Six Stakes winners already this year, three of them graded stakes winners. Congrats stands at Windstar Farm, and there's yet another son of AP Indy at Windstar Farm to keep your eye on, Take Charge Indy. You couldn't write a better pedigree than Take Charge Indy's. AP Indy, of course, is a great Sire of Sires. Congrats, Pulpit, Bernardini. And Take Charge Indy's dam is Take Charge Lady. Dam also of Champion Will Take Charge, Grand Dam of Champion Take Charge Brandy, Broodmare of the Year, and three times Grade 1 winner of over $2,480,000. It's a hard pedigree to live up to, but Take Charge Indy got the job done. He won Grade 1 stakes. He was a superior graded performer, 2, 3, and 4, and he earned over $1,103,000. Now his first foals are yearlings. Covered 296 mares in his first two seasons at stud. Stands for $17,500. You don't have to pay it until the foal stands in nurses. Call Kyle Wilson, Sean Tugel, or Carolyn Walsh at 859-873-1717. See the website, WindstarFarm.com.
Now, back to the Thoroughbred Training Center in Ursulelis.
Well, I've got a few minutes here. I haven't had a chance to read anything from Joe Palmer as This Was Racing lately, but I think I will right now. I've got a few minutes. I'll just do that. And this is a byline of Lexington, Kentucky, and he wrote this back in the 1940s. It's called The Hellish Jail. And in this, he talks about the Phoenix Hotel. People don't know where the Phoenix Hotel was. It was just about a half a block east of Limestone on Main Street at that time, right across from the Ben Ali Theater and the Golden Horseshoe, which was a popular watering hole at that time. So anyway, this was written by Joe Palmer back about in the 1940s. Many people who want to learn about horses go at it the wrong way. They go to Cornell, where the animal husbandry department is considered very good. The proper thing to do is to sit in one of the four chairs which occupy the corner between the grill room and the elevators at the Lafayette Hotel here, say from 9 to 12 in the morning and in the early evening, and listen. And after you can go to Cornell and fill in the gaps, and you will know that the rest of the graduating class has not been taught. It is not always certain that these things will be about horses. This department, in search of a refresher course, since the weather was too chilly to bathe in Elkhorn Creek, took up occupancy in one of these chairs next to one occupied by Mr. George Krebeel, who has bred and raced horses with fair success, but is mainly concerned with picking winners at $4.60 for readers of the Detroit News and in betting on losing 20-1 shots. "Stay put a minute," said Mr. Krebeel. "I've got something for you." He dashed off and returned presently with a small package, very heavy for its size. It was, said the printing on the top, "Old Forester Gel." The contents, it stated further, were sugar, water, whiskey, citrus pectin, and citric acid. It was, in other words, jellied whiskey, a whiskey jelly, as you care to put it. You eat it on things. At this point, I became convinced for the 22nd time that I had no business sense, a matter which will come as no surprise to my friends. I had discovered, or rather rediscovered, the idea behind this at least 5 years before, and it had been put to commercial use. I could have had enough money to get into really serious trouble. We were having some people in to dinner, and the companion of my joys and sorrows, observing that the meal was fairly heavy, was casting about for a light dessert. The casting was being done in the Bluegrass Cookbook, a volume which deserves a column in itself. This particular copy had lost its covers, some of its pages and parts of the others, and ordinarily was kept tied up with a string. It contained items like how to make soap, this being some time before social leaders could make money advertising that they washed their faces, but my pet in it was the recipe for bitters. "Take 1.5 gallons of fine old whiskey," it began, At publication time, this wasn't much, for Kentucky then had a law that keepers of toll gates, who evidently had a habit of holding up their customers, could not charge more than 12.5 cents for a pint of whiskey. At the moment, a man making bitters would be in for something like $35 before he got to the second ingredient. The recipe extracted this time was for wine jelly. You take unflavored gelatin and dissolve it in water and put it in a bit of lemon juice. Then, in this instance, a bottle of Madeira was dumped in. The whole business put in a mold and then in the refrigerator. I pointed out that this would not gel because of the alcohol involved. I should have had more respect for history. It gelled. When it was served, it looked like one of those quivery things which give children extra energy to break windows and to pull the kitty's tail. Our guests took a look at it, and you could see the thought forming in their minds. Jell-O, by all the saints. But they bit it for politeness, and then matters took for a turn for the better. The reasoning was that if wine could gel, anything would. And the idea was kicked around a bit until a neighbor with more initiative came in with a small blob of green material and said, you've been talking about it, now eat it. It was a stinger, though the wrong creme de menthe was used, and it was jelly. I ate it, and all hell broke loose. A stinger, as you suppose you know, is made of brandy and white creme de menthe. If you order one at a bar, it will be made in a proportion of 2-1, and the bartender will use the cheapest brandy in the house. But if you know this worthy and can persuade him to change the proportion to 6-1 and use good brandy, the result is often remarkable. If you get one after dinner, you will sip at it for 20 minutes. But if it's jellied and you eat it with a spoon, it goes down in two. The detonation is more immediate and will convince the most skeptical. The warning should be added. If you try to gel a stinger, it goes into the refrigerator looking as sparkling as an autumn morning. And then it will come out looking like something scraped from the bottom of the Missouri River. That's what the citric acid is doing in the old Forrester gel. A dash of lemon juice and it stays clear. This has also been tried with a martini, which was introduced into the dining room at Jamaica. By actual count, 8 people had a spoon in it, and it was pronounced remarkable, if not prodigious. Handy to take on a picnic, one man said. You can see the multiple advantages of this. A lady traveling alone on a train, for instance, is sometimes sensitive about ordering a couple of slugs before breakfast, fearing that a false, or even worse, a true impression may be given to passersby. But if she were just eating jelly on her biscuit, nobody would pay any attention, and she could be stiff as a mink by Philadelphia. It's a small corner, but you learn in it. That's from Joe Palmer.
Love Joe Palmer.
I love Joe Palmer, too. Well, Dirt Monster's recent score in the $75,000 Budweiser Stakes at Sunland was his third stakes win. He won 2 stakes and placed in 4 others last year, and he's earned right at $300,000. He's from the first crop of Line of David. So is Firing Line. If you remember, Firing Line won the Grade 3 $400,000 Sunland Derby, ran second in the Kentucky Derby, and 2 more graded stakes, including another Grade 1 stakes. He earned over $974,000. Crossed the Line, winner of the $100,000 California Derby, and second in the Grade 3 El Camino Real Derby. And Combat Driver, second in Laurel's $100,000 Miracle Mount Wood Stakes. And Carolina Jasmine, stakes place at the fairgrounds. And Wrong Side 29 has placed in a couple of stakes to date. Grade 1 winner Line of David is siring hard hitters runners with class. And his progeny is also doing well in the sales ring. Last year, his yearling sold for up to $190,000. And remember, Line of David's stud fee is a very reasonable $3,500 due in the full stands of nurses, and he's eligible for Spendthrift Farmers' popular Breed Secure program. You can't go wrong. Call Des Dempsey, Brian Lyle, or Mark Tuthacker at 859-294-0030. See the website, SpendthriftFarms.com.
Now, back to Horsetails with Ursula Ellis.
All right. Well, of course, they're running a Santa Anita Handicap today. That's the big one out in California, naturally. They're running a bunch of graded stakes out there. It's grown a field of 9 from the rail out. It'd be Point Piper, Melatonin, Donworth is back. It's a Tisnall colt. General A-Rod FNX, probable favorite. Mr. Jerkins is out there. Cyrus Alexander, Hardacres, Imperative, and Class Leader. Field of Nine, who's the top weight in there? Well, FNX is the top weight, at 123 pounds. Imperative in with 120 pounds. The Santa Anita Handicap was run first, back in 1935, and it was the first $100,000 stakes race. It was the richest race in the world at that time. And drew quite a field out there. I mean, Equipoise, who was way past his prime, was in it. 20 Grand, who had been retired for stud duties. He was the 31 Derby and Belmont stakes winner. Ran second at Preakness. That was the year the Preakness was won by Mate. And Mate was in the race also, as far as that goes. The Preakness was run before the Derby that year. And several years it has. So that was one of the years, I should say, put it that way. Anyway, so those three were in there. And then a horse named Azucar, who was a seven-year-old, Irish bred, that had won races on the flat over there, came over here and went jumps, and he was a very good steeplechaser. And one day he was up at Detroit. Excuse me. That's when racing was very good up at in Michigan. And anyway, they worked him one day against one of the best runners up there, and they beat him very handily. So the trainer called the owner and says, let's try this horse back on the flat again. He looked awful good today. He just worked and, you know, beat a really nice horse easily here in a workout. So they put him back, and he started winning. And so they took him out to California. And you would think it would have been a real long shot, but it was, you know, semi-long shot. It was 12-1, and he won it. Quite a story there. As I said, George Wolfe rode him, and he beat Ladies Man, who was a five-year-old in Time Supply, and then those other horses that I mentioned were in the beaten field. 20 Grand, as I said, been tried at stud, and was proved to be absolutely sterile. And he was retired to over here to Green Tree Stud, lived out his life over there in the what they call the Gas House Gang. Let's see, then they come 1937, 36, Top Row won it and beat running third was Rosemont, and Rosemont came back the next year and defeated Seabiscuit. And they didn't have this in the book now, but he was given Seabiscuit 10 pounds and beat him. And then the next year, Stagehand defeated Seabiscuit. Stagehand was a three-year-old that got in with 100 pounds, and Seabiscuit was in with 130. Stagehand got in not only that light because of his age, as a three-year-old, but they had weighted the Santa Anita Handicap after the Santa Anita Derby. The Santa Anita Derby was run before the Santa Anita Handicap, and Stagehand had won it. But the weights were already out, so he got in with 100 pounds, and he won. And then in 1939, Kayak the Second won it. Very, very good racehorse. And he was owned by the same people that Mr. Howard had owned Seabiscuit. Of course, Seabiscuit was out that year. But they ran him back the following year as an entry, and Seabiscuit was given 130 pounds, Kayak 129 pounds, and Seabiscuit won by about a length and a half it was, and results that I've read about that race several times in various places, and several people mentioned that they thought Kayak could have won it that year. He was an imported horse, by that way. Son, 1941, when it was Bayview, he was the son of Sweepall, son of Sweep that stood over Dixiana. Bayview was not a Dixiana bred. I think he was a California bred. Nick Wall was riding him that day. He got in with 108 pounds and beat Meal in. was a top mud horse 3-year-old that year, and he'd won the American Derby the previous year as a 3-year-old. And then Bolingbroke ran third, son of Prince Quillo, who was a staying horse. And, you know, there have been some really good horses who win it down through the years. Round Table won it in 1959 under 130 pounds, beat Terang. Terang was a good racehorse also. Prove It won it under Willie Shoemaker, Crozier, Hill Rise, Lucky Debonair, the Derby winner from the 65 Derby winner by Vertex. Ak-Ak won it in 1971 under Willie Shoemaker. He beat Cougar. Cougar, another imported horse. Went stood out at Arthur Hancock's, by the way. Cougar did. And Ak-Ak won. He was a 5-year-old that year, and he was a champion sprinter, champion handicap horse. And the whole nine yards, a horse of the year as far as that goes. So that Santa Anita Handicap been a top race. It looks like another good edition of it this year. Bunch of stakes races today out at, besides the Santa Anita Handicap, they're running the Grade 1 Frank E. Kilroy Mile. And it's on a field of 7. Alm is in there, that Munnings coach, who's a really nice coach. What a view, Balabali, Bolo from the first crop by Temple City, Kenneth Storm, Midnight Storm, and De Travelle. San Felipe Stakes, Grade 2. Uncle Lino, Dazzling Candy, More Spirit, Cupid. Cupid, there was another horse named Cupid. Who was he by many years ago? Can't remember, Ursula. You're getting senile. I will score Smoke Image and Exaggerator. Then Tampa Bay Derby down there today is a Grade 2 race. And it's drawn a field of 10 in there. Morning Fire, Rafting, Outwork, Economic Model, Star Hill, Riker, Destin, Brody's Cause, Taylor Zaval, and Awesome Banner. Other stakes race, the San Carlos, Grade 2 at Santa Anita. The Hillsborough Stakes, Grade 2 at Tampa Bay. Aqueducts, Grade 3, Tom Fool. Of course, Tom Fool buried over here right next door to the training center over on Green Tree Stud. Son of me now. Honeybee Stakes down at Oaklawn Park today. They're running the Florida Oaks, Grade 3, at Tampa Bay Downs. Turfway today. It's the John Battaglia Memorial. And Mike Battaglia is calling his last race until next year. And, of course, the race named after his father. And Mike is retiring from the microphone, but he said he's going to come back every year when they run the race named after his dad and call that race. Well, that music means it's time to spit out the bit, so that's about what I'm going to do. Appreciate you listening. You can go to our website here shortly. We'll have the UrsulaEllisHorseTales.com, and you can listen to the show again there. Of course, it's you can hear it worldwide live, you know. They listen to it over in China right now. Hello. Talk to you next week, and thanks for listening.